the BU Be Real podcast. It's your boy, Joey B, the chosen brown one, Joey Dundada, the chosen one. You already know what it is. We here, we live and direct. Got my host, Los, with me.
Yes, sir. At the new stop, new location. Yes, the sir. Last stop, the only stop.
Only one you should ever be at when you end your night. But nevertheless, you know, we got some, we got a big crew with us today. We got a director, writer, actor crew right here of the cycle. So it's a short film project. So we got Carlos, well, bang. You know what I mean? We got Jay, well, bang. And we got my man Renee right here. So who's the director? Who's the writer? I know who's, but for the writer, for the listener's sake, who's the writer? Who's the director?
I directed the cycle. I'm Carlos.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, okay. I'm Jay, the writer. I wrote the whole short.
And I'm Renee. I was acting in it.
Dope, dope, dope. So yeah, as Jay just announced, it was a short film. It was a project that I had the opportunity to catch. Supported my friend Renee at the Dominican Film Festival. And pretty much, you know, what we do, guys, on this show is that we really love to give people their flowers, because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know what could happen to tomorrow. So the project was amazing, beautifully shot, beautiful acting, and just the overall concept of it. Like, it had me walking away really, like, asking myself questions based around the subject that was the cycle. So, you know, just to dive right into it, Carlos, I want to ask you, and then we could just, you know, pass this along. How long have you been directing films? What has inspired you to get into this type of career and things of that sort?
So I always like movies.
I love movies.
Jay knows that. Renee knows that. Always like movies. I always wanted to try to make them. And then, you know, when you find out they cost millions of dollars, like, oh, well, that's a wrap. I've had some good friends, some supportive friends also in similar fields. So that kind of encouraged me to try to start doing it. And the last few years, I've been doing a lot of music videos. Mm. And that's really, once I've seen how they come out, I was like, okay, you know what, let's write something narrative-wise. Like, let's write a drama. Let's write something serious. So that's how it went about.
I love that for you. I love that.
Thank you.
And Jay?
Same question,
then,
right?
We're going to dive off into that music video.
We'll talk about that. similar. So it's funny, not to go off on a tangent, because I can't go on a tangent. Me and Carlos have a similar, I guess, background in a sense. Like, I love movies as well, story-driven. Never really saw myself wanting to create movies, but be like the architect behind it. I wanted to be like, oh, I want to write something. And I've had the idea of writing something since I was 11. But then again, you see those movies cost mad money.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, what black kid is going to do that? And you didn't really see a lot of black people making those movies. Maybe like, you know, the Donald Glover or Will Smith, but you never really.
Yeah, not back in the heyday.
Yeah, but then like you never see the background too. Mm-hmm. So you just think, oh, it's just white people doing it in the back, whatever. But yeah, and it's until I want to say college where I was like, nah, I want to be a writer.
That's dope.
And what solidified it for me was, I remember this guy, he was a cop. I remember he was just like, oh, I remember I told him I wanted to be a writer. He's like, yeah, they don't make money. I was like, yeah, but I still want to do it. Like, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, I can still have a 9-to-5, yeah. And still make my way out of that.
Yeah, it's your passion at the end of the day, right? That's the whole point of hustling,
yeah.
And that hustling bustle, especially in New York, is
facts.
Figuring out how to make your plan B is another way to make your plan A work, right?
Exactly.
To a certain extent.
Exactly.
So that's dope, though. Really quick, just to, you know, you don't hear people say when they were kids they wanted to be a writer. What was the specific moment or like film per se that you
it
were
wasn't
like,
even
yo.
A film. It wasn't like all the movies to me were great. When I remember, there was no specific film that made me want to get into writing. But I remember in class we had to write a script for something. I forget what the project was, but I liked the way it turned out. I thought it was good. I was in sixth grade from Miss Monet's class. We went to the same school.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, you looked at him and said sixth grade.
No, so we're not the same age, but he knows the teacher that I'm mentioning.
Oh, okay.
So I remember I wrote down, I was like, oh, I like the way this came out. And I even like made a cover and everything. It was just, I thought it was good. It looked like a script. Like I remember typing it and then it came out. No one gave me praise for it. I just liked it. So then I would say that's like the seed until college was like, I want to do this.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. That's dope.
Tenecito?
As far as going back to the original question about directing, I feel like maybe I haven't thought about directing, but definitely like editing.
Or the acting, I guess you're saying.
I mean, the acting for sure, definitely acting.
Yeah, that was your first acting job.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
You did great.
Thank you. Appreciate you. So I guess, I don't know, honestly, I remember we spoke before about like, oh, have you ever got something? I'm down. Yeah. But like, I think I wanted to learn more about like filming and editing. But then when he said, hey, like, look at the script, you want to, you know, let's do this. I'm like, I'm down. I can help out. And then it turned into, you know, the cycle.
Yeah. And just to, again, continue giving it flowers, because that's what we do. And a lot of the people that we bring on the show, it's kind of a trend, right? It's a bunch of folks that take risk and place a bet on themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You never acted ever in your life, but you said, why not? You took a risk on Renee and said, well, you know, if you think you can do it, why not, right? Same thing. You guys had this project together. You decided to bring him on. And he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, most of them.
Did great, bro. I'd give you an Oscar.
Thank you. I'll give you an Oscar. Yeah.
Was there like an audition involved in that process? Or was like Renee the go-to? Or did he have other candidates? Like, how was that process like?
I mean, I work at Apple. So, you know, Apple has a lot of creative people. There's... At every Apple says at least 30 actors. But I specifically, my girlfriend's always encouraging me to tell more culturally relevant stories. And I think it's true because, you know, as kids, you see Marvel movies, you see whatever, you're like, yeah, I want that. And it's very easy in your head to just cast other white people because that's what you're used to seeing. So when I went to Renee, I initially had Renee in mind for Evan's character, who's actually played by Kareem Shabazz, who couldn't be here today, but you know, he's a great actor as well. I had, because Renee is a big dude imposing, them like, I want him to play the aggressive antagonist. And then when I had them read that time under that like construction site, it's like it occurred to me maybe Renee could play more of the more vulnerable character. So I was like, yo, let's just try it this way real quick. And after that, I stuck with it. And it just fit better. And Kareem was actually able to switch up to the aggression much easier than what I was expecting. So it just like cemented the idea like, all right, we're just going to invert it and have them play to whatever felt natural to them. So that's why I went to Renee and Kareem. I thought that they represent just two aspects of our community, the Black community, the Dominican community. Dominicans pretend they're not Black half the time. I thought it was like a good subtext playing
right
during that same conversation. So that's why I went with them.
And that's a whole other conversation that we
talked about. Oh, yeah. That's a whole other podcast.
Right? Yeah, for real. That's a whole other episode.
We could go on that for days.
Yeah, for real. Because I got my thoughts on that. But
I know Black! Dominica!
Well, I wanted to, you know, use that as an opportunity to kind of bring the cycle in to the conversation because, you know, you speaking about the auditioning process and the concepts behind it and what you were trying to portray. I feel like for the listeners, spoiler alert.
pause the video.
Go watch it.
Take your time out, all right? If you see it out there, go watch it. But essentially, for the listener standpoint, what was the, like, your overall thinking or the both of you overall thinking when you decided to sit down and create this project?
Right before COVID started, I don't know if you remember, in your house, actually, before you moved in with your girl, we were talking about, first it was a concept of a vampire. Then it was
like I was feeling confident after music videos. I'm like, yo, I got this shit. I'm gonna just film like some hot shit right now. So we're talking about like a vampire at the club. Then we're talking about a jealous boyfriend who kills his girlfriend. And I ran this through. Oh, you see that. It was mad cliche.
You see that in a lot. You can go on YouTube.
I love it. That's a fact. That's a fact. You get Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, yeah.
You go for days.
You know, I was like, we're going to stunt right now. We're going to do some typical shit thinking that we're stunning. But then, of course, I run it through my girlfriend's filter. And she's like, why do y'all niggas keep killing women in these stories? She doesn't say that. She's white. She didn't say that. She would be mortified. You have people thinking that I said that. Yeah. No, but she was like, you know, I feel like in too many movies, to have a guy go through an arc, we always have to have a girl getting beat, getting cheated on, you know, getting killed or whatever. So she's like, why don't you focus on that? And to be honest, I was insulted at first. I'm like, how dare you insult this dope ass idea that me and Jay, in my head, I already had shots. Like, it was going to be fire.
So I felt that she did that.
Yeah.
Again, that's ego.
Yeah.
And that's what we bring in.
It set me on the right path to like, okay, let's really dive deep. My story is about jealousy, but it's really about men and jealousy and then men with other men in terms of like how they perceive each other. And then that's how the idea started coming around. And then I started talking to Jay about it. And Jay, well, how long did it take you to write it? Because it was fast.
It was fast. I remember it's just very, I guess, it's not as vivid, but I remember you had the story and you were just like, yo, can you write this? But obviously it was more in depth. But it was very quick. And yeah, I just started writing it and just understanding how you have to understand yourself as a guy.
Yeah.
Because every time, like, now my wife, she would say something, then you feel that, like, you get a little triggered when it's like, why is she saying that? And it's like, all right, she's right. But then you know, a guy is like, nah, you don't want to admit that she's right. So I don't, at the time she wasn't my wife and I was still, I guess you can say, quote unquote, the young buck. So I'm not going to understand what I'm saying now to my younger self. Sorry, I'm getting very meta. But
I love it. It's just something that you probably got to listen to right? later on.
But we were talking about it. But I remember it was a dope idea because I was like, and I remember for one of my shorts that I wanted to write, I had a vampire idea too. And then Carlos was, because Carlos is the one I go to about stuff like that. He's like, yo, you got to tone that down. And it's funny you say that because she had to tone you down.
Yeah, but here I am trying to do the same thing. Trying to do it this way. So Jay came back really fast with the idea, and I really liked where Jay took the story. And I just, like, maybe tweaked some of the things he said in the middle, but I didn't do much. It was pretty much as it is. What you see was Jay's draft. We just streamlined the conversation a little bit, and it became something completely different. There's no vampires, obviously.
Yeah.
No women's getting killed. No women died. But it's about, if you can imagine, like, the way we're sitting here, you know, with a woman in the background, like, how do guys act knowing that there's women in the vicinity? How do they act when they feel like their manhood's about to be challenged or their integrity amongst their group is going to be contested? Because that's more important, you know?
Yeah.
She can cheat on me or whatever, but don't do it in front of my boys. Don't do it where people can see it. And then you got to question me as a man in front of people. And I just thought that story resonated more. But then, you know, I panicked a little bit. I said, I don't know if I want to film that because it's very serious. And it's like, I've been doing pop music videos and rap music videos. Completely left field. Until I spoke to Kareem, who Jay had worked with.
It was like an internship writing class. The project was to write a script, and direct it and whatnot. I basically did a one man team. I wrote the script, got Kareem and this other cat. I forget his name. If he watches this, I hope he doesn't because he's going to be upset. But, they both did this. They did a great job. I really like Kareem a lot. My short was called Cops and Robbers. It was kind of like a commentary on cops. This was during the George Floyd thing. It was around that time. But I did it because of that. So I was like, I posted like, yeah, not all cops are bad, because the way I see it is like my cousin, like who's my, you know, you got your best friend cousin, he is a cop, but I'm like, I don't see him that way. So it's always, you got to see from that lens.
Yeah.
But then, you know, most people are like, yo, I hate cops. But the whole point is, that's where I met Kareem. Kareem did a great job, and that's why I was like, Carlos, you should check this guy out. And then that's when you made your fine and
had a great performance in that short. For sure, he was a standout.
Yeah.
And then after that, I connected with Renee, because one of the inspirations for Kareem's character is actually your cousin Jeffrey. Oh, you know Jeff?
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy.
No, mad love to Jeff. Jeff Denver Disham Silly. That's me. That's not. Yeah, no. No, just like the relationship of like, don't be a punk. You know, don't be a punk. See about it. Jeffrey was constantly doing that with me. You know, I love him to death. That's my brother. But I just wanted to show like, even if those people grow up to be better men, it's a reciprocating cycle as kids of just like preying on the next person and the next person and the next person. And even I would do it to the next person behind me or whatever. So I was talking to Jeff and he was like, oh, I'm going to go chill with Renee. And I was like, let me hit up Renee. So I hit up Renee and then we started talking about it. And you read the script fast too. I sent it to you over email. You read it like, well, the next day to send me.
I mean, you got this. Yeah, they usually take forever to read a script. I'm saying actors in general.
Yeah. I mean, it was a short script, so I think it was easy to read.
And you are an English teacher.
Well, yeah. You are an English teacher.
You know what I'm saying?
So, Matt, what made it easy, though, I think what made the experience easy was that at one point, Carlos was like, improvise, like, whatever. You got the script, but make it you. So there were some words where I was like, changing it up so it could sound like me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made, I guess, like my performance successful, because I was like, oh, this is how I sound. So there were some words that I was tweaking, but I had the permission, right, from like the writer, director, hey, you got the chance to do this, that's okay. And I think that's what made it like flow in a way.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, first glance, as someone who's known Renee for a hot minute now, is when I watched it, it kind of reminded me of a few of the conversations that we had in the past.
No, facts.
Like, you're not saying that we've ever lived through anything of that type of, that
never,
nature.
Yeah. We never did that shit. But,
yeah.
It's the wildest form of that story.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
The most wildest form of when your boy come to you and he got, like, relationship issues with his girl, but, like, think of it like plot twist to the biggest extent.
Like, no, I think that was part of it. Like, what, especially growing up in New York, like, who hasn't had that type of relationship with their boys?
Yeah.
And maybe even watch it and just like look back like, oh shit, like we kind of fucked up to each other. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my boy had his girl break up with him and I laughed at him real quick. Instead of just like being there for him for a moment and then saying like, yo, we can move on from this. So like that's really what I wanted people to feel watching it, like, and it's not, I didn't feel it was going to be too pretentious,
really. So the name The Cycle, why that name? Like, what does that necessarily mean?
So when I write a story, I always put the first thing that comes to mind, because it's always like project whatever, like I just call it like the project cycle, because it was just like whatever. But the word cycle is the term that I coined, called the fuckboy cycle. So basically, like, you like this girl, but the girl goes for that bad boy. So then the guy that doesn't get like becomes the fuck boy. And it's just a whole thing over and over again. But then with this story, it's somewhat similar. So I just called it The Cycle. And then Carlos hits me up and he's like, yo, so we're finally ready for the festival. How should we change the title? And I was like, I honestly don't know. Yeah, because I'm just like,
we'll and he. AMC today.
I'm like, I don't know. But oh yeah, so yeah, I think we just landed on, we're just like, let's just keep it The Cycle. Yeah, and it was simple and it works. Like, I think we came up with random ideas, but I think that's the one that just stuck. We didn't even spend too much time on it.
Yeah. I like that one.
I like that a lot, because you know, when you, what you just said, right, like when I first saw it, I got it, but I didn't understand the title. But now that you say like fuckboy cycle, I definitely, it super makes sense, because it's
kind of that title though.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, you can't have the fuckboy cycle. You can't have the fuckboy. Yeah. That's crazy. Niggas are going to be like, I ain't watching this shit. The fuckboys. They try to shit on us on this one. Or girls ain't going to watch it because they're going to be like, I don't give a fuck about fuckboys. But it definitely makes sense because, look, as a man who's been a fuckboy, it's kind of hard to step out of that cycle, man. It's, you know, for all the women that are listening. I am no longer a fuckboy.
Now there's like, you know, part of it is that, like, when Jeff would do it to me, I'm a person that I felt developed late, like 14, 15. I'm still watching Batman Beyond cartoons. I'm still trying to buy action figures. And when you get hit with the, yo, if you don't talk to this girl today when we go after school, you gay. Yo, they might as well send you to the death sentence.
Yeah, back then, pot is traumatizing because gay back then is like, you don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I mean, just for the listeners, gay's okay. But in our eyes back then,
oh no, it's like, it's a death sentence.
Or they were like, they would tie that with like serious stuff. You like anime, oh, that's gay. Like, what?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, everybody watches. Anybody loves
gay? You're thrown into the shadow realm at that point. Like, oh, nigga, you gay.
Yeah.
That shit.
We held it up for everybody now.
Yeah.
They don't know. We went to it.
Yeah.
What's up?
But that in and of itself sends you into kind of like that wormhole of fuckboy lifestyle. Mm. And then you go through that all the way through high school, college. And then you find yourself in your late 20s, like, yo, what am I doing? So, you know, at the same time, like I said, I appreciate the journey that helped me experience. But I feel like half of that shit could be avoided for most guys. It could just be avoided by having real talks.
Yeah, definitely. Open communication and not being scared to speak your mind.
But that's one thing we're not taught, as, you know, coming from black and brown communities, you know, that vulnerability and being open and emotional, that's, you know, like, why are you doing that? That's shut up on that. So, yeah.
Hashtag no jode.
Yeah.
Which is what I loved about the film, is that you have, you know, a Dominican man, a black man, and showing that vulnerability and that emotion. So, you know, it's important for, you know, many people to see, and, you know, you got to push that narrative more, you know?
That's definitely true. And just like Renee's character, yo, bro, I just wanted to talk to you like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sit down. Like, you get it now as you get older, but definitely as a kid or a teenager,
that's not happening.
Yeah, you gotta teach that now.
I remember, just to let y'all in, like, I had a trouble time with like my girlfriend, my ex. We had broken up. Fam, I was so.
Like, first girlfriend?
Like, yeah, first girlfriend.
From high school. Type
from high school.
That was rough, though.
Broke up. Bro, you talking about communication and being vulnerable? Fam, I shut off. I didn't talk to nobody for, like, 2 weeks. I'm talking about cafeteria. Sat alone. Went to class. Didn't talk to nobody. Yo, I'm telling real shit. It was to the... Yo, it got to a...
It feels like a Michael Bay movie when you're high school.
Yo, didn't want to talk. Everything was on my sleeves. It got to a point where I had my friends, like, trying different ways to get me to speak. Like, they'll send a girl to walk down the hallway as I'm using the bathroom. Or, like, they'll set up, like, a fake intervention, like, in the locker room, like, yo, what's up? Why you acting like that? This and that.
Why you acting gay?
Into it. That's coming in there, though.
And I'm like, I ain't say nothing. I'm
gonna wait. But that, doing that is just the wrong
way to do it, too. Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, it's like you said before, you're attacking my manhood. Like, now I'm not going to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So, like, that, I can see that. Yeah.
Full circle now, man.
It's a cycle, you would say.
So, all right. So, one thing that I definitely want to touch on regarding the film is the essence of cheating. Because that's something that I walked away with really pondering about. Like, okay, are we pushing the boundaries or are we setting the boundary? Like, what is it what is it that will ever make cheating okay? Because we know we talk about ego with, you know, your guys' girlfriends and taking it from her perspective and seeing what she sees. And at the end of the film, spoiler alert, watch the film, is it's the end of it, you know, you can see Kareem's character on the phone with your girlfriend, mm-hmm. and she goes and she says, oh, now he cares.
Yeah.
Right? So that made me think. I was like, all right, well, damn. Is Renee the one fucking up? And does that make it okay? I know it's bad because it's his boy, but she also, like I said, we're taking it from her perspective now. Are we pushing that boundary or are we setting it? That's my question. Like when it comes to when you guys created this film.
I didn't even think about that. That's a very good question.
Come on, son.
I'd stop now. we were actually having a discussion about this in our chat group a couple weeks back.
We share this conversation constantly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Going back to the previous thing, talking to guys should be normal. Like, mm-hmm. we should be talking to guys. And we talk in the chat all the time. When we meet up at his place, it's just like us five. We're just talking about stuff. Or one of our mutual friends who's having his own problems, but we talk to him and he talks to us. So it's an open dialogue. I guess, do you want me to answer that question?
I mean, it's also a general question too.
Okay. So I don't want to say pushing the boundaries. I think the key thing is just always communication. So I think both Renee's character and his girlfriend, who has no name, I guess, right? I guess she just. She's like all women in general. I can't say that. Janet. Her name's Janet. Oh, it was Janet. Yeah, it was Janet. I forgot. So,
that's a Janet.
I think the problem was both of them. It's just communication. Like, they weren't talking to each other. Like, that's the only thing. Now, I don't think it's okay to cheat. Now, I always say it's okay to be a fuckboy if you're not lying. Mm. So, and I always tell, I'm not going to throw names, but I always tell one of my close persons, I'm not going to say who it is, like, yo, it's okay. Just don't lie to the person you're with. Like, you don't want to be with that person. Yeah, just now, because
it's on the same page.
And I know. So then I know where it's like, and I'm sure we can all have the same feeling where like you see a girl and then she's like, oh, I want to be in a relationship. But then your mind is like, I want to tap. Mm. Now you're going to lie to just tap. And then and now you're stuck.
That's fuckboy. That's fuckboy-itis right there. That's definitely fuckboy movements.
Mind you, right. You're selling the dream. I'm selling the dream, right? And I think, look, so I'll show my vulnerability. I've never cheated. And it's just hearing how everyone speaks. I'm very good with like how to put things into dialogue. So I'm like I love Ninja Turtles. So I know how the way each of the Ninja Turtles talk. So that's like, I'm very good at that. So having talked to my boys, that's how the dialogue was able to come out. So, again, it's okay to cheat. I mean, it's okay to be a fuckboy, but don't lie and cheat, if that makes sense.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, that's my piece.
I agree with a lot of that. I just think that what you brought up, thank you for giving me time to think about that. Renee's character, he's clearly being a typical guy and not communicating with his girl. But then his friend beats him over the head with that toxic shit.
Oh, dear.
So now he's going to become just like his friend and do the same thing to the next girl and the next girl. So it is kind of a cycle in that, you know, when we refuse to talk, we refuse to communicate. That's when we feel that we need to lie and cheat and hide things from people. Mm. I like Jay said, I feel like if it's consensual, you're having a good time. Like, it's okay. It's cool. As long as everybody keeps it 100. Is a problem when you gotta, you know, sell the dream and lie to get some, or have something here and decide that you want something over there too. I feel like that's when you kind of need to make decisions. And as somebody that's been in my relationship for 5 years now, the temptation never goes away. Like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it 100. She knows that. I've told her too. But like, everybody, you know, there's always gonna be somebody that looks good. There's always gonna be somebody that looks good for her, I'm pretty sure. But you just got to weigh that decision. Like, hey, am I willing to lose what I have here? My connection with this person, my attraction, or whatever the case may be, my partnership for everything else. And I feel like as a young guy, I wasn't making that decision. I was just, well, I could eat some more.
Slanging around.
You put some more tajaron habichuela on this plate for me, please.
Like,
You just keep jumping on the buffet, even though you still have half a plate over here.
Yeah.
But now, as you get older, you're like,
it's not necessary.
I could eat.
Yeah.
But do I really want to eat? Or it just looks good from over here, you know?
They say, comiendo con los ojos.
Exactly. Exactly. He's laughing.
Nah, I like that. It makes me feel good.
I was going to say, just in terms of communication, too, we got to also put the fear aside. Because I feel like, for me, I've been through experiences where I don't communicate properly because of the fear of confrontation. Not just in an argumentative way, but in an emotional way as well. So it was like normalizing that communication without having any backlash or without, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just try to communicate as human beings. And I think that fear sometimes holds people, you know, back and then makes things worse in the long run, you know? So it's just like practicing being vulnerable and open to communicate and just being honest, man.
Definitely. I you know, like, we all have different experiences. So, like, through those experiences, we can gain those things that you just mentioned. I had an experience in the past, one of my exes, when we initially first started dating, one of the topics of conversation was cheating. It was like, would you leave me if I cheat? Or yeah, yeah. She asked me. It was like the second date. It was like the second date. She wanted to see what was my answer. But we left, you know, like, thinking like, oh, okay, it's not the worst thing that we can do to each other, but it's also, again, like, just being open about it. Like, she said that she would be okay with it as long as I told her, right? If she found me fucking around in the crib or, like, in the spot with somebody, then it's like, whoa. But if you, like, go out, where to everything? I ain't lying. Why you laughing? Like, where to everything? Okay. It was the nurse joint. Oh, he knows her a little bit. So she was like, yo, like, fuck, you're gonna lose my train of thought. But initially she said, like, if you go out one night in fucking Nebraska or whatever, and you with your boys and you come back and we have a sit down and you talk to me, that's fine.
So as long as it's not her personal space.
And you think exactly. She was going to stay with you, you think?
She said that she wouldn't leave me for it. She didn't say, she said that she would get mad. She didn't say that she wouldn't get mad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never said that that's okay.
She respected your honesty.
She respected the honesty. Yeah.
That action.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, through experiences, I was able to, you know, be like, all right, cool. I'm okay with it now. Like, having that talk and letting her know, like, I ain't fucking around, though. You can't just go to fucking Texas.
And come back
and be like, yeah, fuck this nigga. That shit was mad. You're like, whoa. Let's slow down now. And she talk about you fucking other niggas, huh? I'd rather not know. Yeah. I don't mind it because I won't know. And if it's not in my crib.
That's why you don't mind it, though, because you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't know. But if it's in my crib.
Nah, it's over.
I'm going
to
be
there's
tired.
Levels to that. Like, you're right. Like, as I've gotten older, I realize, like, it's funny when I have conversations with, because, you know, we work with people of different ages. When I talk to people in their very, very early 20s, they're always like, the worst thing in the world is cheating. I'm like, what about murder? That's the worst thing that could ever happen to you? Like, I feel like if cheating happened, especially in a relationship that's been going on for years, it's going to be hard for sure. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I can probably try to get over it, especially if I knew I cared about this person. If you would ask me that when I was 22, nah, fuck, they're over. Like, you know, yeah, you cut them off quick.
It's clear.
No, yeah, that's facts. Even like now, like, if that were to happen to me, I don't know how I would take it. I've never been cheated on, but
me neither.
Like, I just don't know
that we know.
That we know. No, yeah, it's
at the top. It's not.
You're making these film references. I like it. Nah. Again. You like you said, if it doesn't happen in your crib, but then I have to take a step back and be like, now I just feel disrespected because I won't know I'm being disrespected. But then if you find out you've like been with another guy like 2, 3, 4 times, I'm like, oh, so you didn't tell me the first time. So that would like, if you told me you've been with other people more than once, then I'm like, all right, now it has to be cut off.
Yeah.
If you told me from day one and from what I know, then that's it. But like, I don't think it's where it's done. It's like, I don't care if you go to Japan and do it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't want, like, I always tell my girl this, like, she's like, I'm like, I wouldn't cheat on you. I'm like, if I don't want to be with you, I don't want to be with you anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go cheat just to end it. I would end it and just continue my life. Because kind of like, I'm going off tangent, like one of my coworkers, not going to name names because I'm not trying to get him fired. But he's like mad reckless. He's like very, he's very misogynistic the way he speaks. And it's, I'll tell you later. But it's just mad weird because he was like, yo, you wouldn't fuck, you don't fuck a leader or manager. And I was like, but like, nah, because and the way I see it is like, I'm not going to mess with my money because I'm not trying to get fired. I have, that's a different level. I'm like, he's like, you wouldn't do that. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that.
And that's a different level. He's a wild boy. I'm like, I wouldn't. He's like, I would. I'm like, first of all, no one would. I'm being a hater. I'm like, no one would do that with you. Yeah, fact.
He's going to watch everything burn.
And then I was like, first of all, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to mess with my money because like the way I see it, my passion is like number one. That's like my thing. And I don't want. Like, relationship is very important, but I don't want something like that ruining my first love, which is my passion. So if it ruins that, then what else do I have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, like, don't mess with my money. I don't want to do that. But that's just me.
It's always that one nigga that come out of left field like, yo, so what are you? Are you clear? So I'm
like, and I'm, like you're not even thinking about it. Like, never thought of it before. Then out of nowhere, like. Yeah, it is left
field. I'm that nigga.
I didn't want to say it, but
I'm that nigga.
It's not the cycles of that end. It's just the stop sign. But now that we're on this conversation as well, when I was younger, I used to always think it was worse for a woman to cheat rather than a man. So how do you guys feel about that now as you're older and more mature?
That's exactly what our discussion was about the other day.
Our discussion, yeah. But
I got an idea about that. I feel like
hot take.
Men cheat because of proximity and opportunity, and girls cheat because they still do because of proximity and opportunity. But I feel like it's more because of some emotional connection. Because I feel like it's very rare for like a girl to just go and sleep with some random guy. Where us, like, we see a bad girl and we're just like even when we're just out drinking, and even if you're not in a relationship, you could really bag something and be so down to hit the same day. Whereas a girl is more of like, she's more, you know, reserved. She's gonna take her time, maybe want to get to know you a little bit. And then if a girl is in a relationship, she's gonna take those steps to before she smacks, like, she's gonna plan this, you know, time that she's gonna have sex with this other guy or whatever. So.
The
2023 is different? Hold on, get the mic closer to him.
That's what the conversation was about the other day, because some of the people in our group feel that way. And I used to very much think that. I'm really trying to go through hurdles of being a bit more progressive about how I kind of view those things. Coming from a dad who was... My dad cheated on my mom so much, I've caught him before.
Damn.
Literally. So it was that bad. So I've seen the effects of it on the women. And I've had a girl cheat on me before. And it felt wild. Like, I was like, oh, wow. Because that's the last thing you expect.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, it's like, well, they will have needs too. But I do think they're more tied to emotional needs than guys. Because you could love your girl to death and be like, yeah, but she looks bad over there. Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
go do that.
For your girl to do that, it's like, you as a man, you not doing something in the house.
Something's missing.
Not giving her
that
life.
Connection, not giving her that affection, something.
I mean, but I also say this. I agree with you. I agree with you. But it's also...
Here comes a hot take.
It's also as simple as she just wants a dick.
I think he's not wrong. It could be that too. It could just simply like, I just want dick too. That's all. It works both ways. And then we talk about in the chat where it's like, it's not one sided. Like what we see is like you said before, you know, a girl cheats is the worst thing. She's a hoe. God cheats is like, yo, give him that.
Yeah, it's a double standard.
So, but for me, like, let's say you're not in a relationship, you're just hoeing around. Girls can hoe around. Just don't lie about it. I'm not gonna judge a woman for hoeing around because she just wants something. She's looking for something, either physical or emotional. Guys, the same thing. It's just they gotta be more communicating on it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing.
Now I was gonna say that, like, I agree with you. Like, women are more progressive and more in tune with their sexuality these days. That they don't, you know, before it was kind of like shamed upon on them to like do certain, you know, give their body up. But it's like
You know, if they want to.
But that's also like we were young back then, so we thought that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that too. Yeah.
Now we're in our 30s, where it's like,
yeah. Now these girls look like menaces out here.
Yeah, I blame the Cardis and the Megan Thee Stallions of the world.
But I think, like you said, it's real easy to tour them.
Empower them.
And, you know, it's easy to condemn a girl for cheating because, like you said, we don't expect it. It's not. But like, the best test that you can give somebody to see where their mind is, I like, yo, so you meet this girl, the challenge I put in the chat. I always like to play devil's advocate in the chat with like progressive ideas.
Yeah, me too.
Just to see. So I'm like, yo, you meet a girl at this party. Yo, she's fire. She's beautiful. You're hitting it off. You're having great conversation. Next thing you know, you go on 3 or 4 dates. The chemistry is there. And then one of your boys said, yo, I heard she was messing with Miguelito. And he went wild on her for like a month. Watch that dude immediately back off.
But hold on. Do you know Miguelito?
Miguelito's a friend of your friend.
If I don't know Miguelito, that shit did not exist. Yeah. That shit got nothing to do with me. If it was Joel, then I'm going to be like, oh, fuck.
Like, you know how I do it.
Yeah, because realistically, I think a lot of guys are afraid of girls with a body count. Mind you, we walking in there with body bags.
Yeah.
But it's a body bag. No,
we got a morgue behind us, but we worried that she tapped 3 dudes that we've seen on the block. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why does that bother so much? Funny. And even me saying that, a part of me cringes a little bit. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Feel it.
It's only gonna feel it.
And if it's not that you immediately don't talk to her, I'm just going to have fun. You immediately disqualify any serious potential with that girl.
But I don't know. What if she's throwing you all the signs of like you gonna have a very successful relationship with her? Like you really gonna risk that opportunity because someone from like another the third party over there hit?
I don't know. No, but you know, I would say that what we spoke about in the chat is similar to the situation, but you find out she's a porn star. Like we
oh,
that's a whole thing. But think about it, it's like it's the same thought. It's like damn, she's had all these bodies. That does disqualify, and I get it. That is very left field. But
I have a number. That's all I'm saying. If you're gonna be a porn star, you gotta be bringing in a certain amount of income. That's it. I mean, that's
a different conversation.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Different conversation.
Yeah, if you're making millions, Riley Reid, I could wife that up tomorrow.
That's actually where that conversation came from. Actually,
that's where our conversation.
Because she did an article where she was finally getting married.
What's her name?
Riley Reid.
I gotta look up.
And
Google.
She's a famous actress, and she was doing an article. I forget which magazine where she was getting married, but she talked about like her success in the industry and all the animosity that she got. And I was like, this is great for a conversation.
Yeah.
So I was driving from, I think it was like Kissimmee to like Orlando, and the chat was on fire. I was just putting that out there. And it's like, do you not date somebody like that because you feel less of a man? Because you know that, you know, Johnny Sins is piping her down and shit. Like,
how
do you feel about that when she comes home to you loving as hell and shit, like giving you hugs, treating you like a king, but you know where she came from. Where she made that 6 G's like earlier today.
I wonder, because that shit is like an act.
It is an act.
Like a whole, you know.
But it's actually happening.
But she really
the emotion is the act. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like you think she really feeling that shit? Like her shit really wet for real because like she's into it? Or is that like, you know, they cut the angle and the dude's throwing a little bit of water or some shit, some other shit. You know what I mean? I feel like that shit is like...
No, for sure.
It's set up.
The only way you know if you didn't film in it type shit.
But like, how would you feel as her partner? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Nah, for sure. I would be afraid of like any type of STDs, STIs. That would be my main concern. Yeah, I'd be like, nah, hold up. Like, you was working this whole week, like every... You know, like imagine us. Like, we're working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Is she working a 9 to 5 Monday through Friday? So that means she's getting like, you know, her shit tossed every day.
From 9 to 5.
The band.
From 9 to 5. Like, damn.
She's sitting on the bedroom with an IV. She's
in the bed. Yeah. Nah, that's funny. I don't know how we got to Riley Reid. Oh, I did.
Yeah. Let's get back to the psycho. Yeah, so psycho question. Psycho.
The psycho can lead you to being a porn star.
psycho different.
I wanted to. That's funny. I wanted to dive into another aspect of the film, and then also want to get your guys' take on other actors, films. You know, I like to get perspective from people in the industry and with this passion, because I always feel like it's funny. But pretty much to circle back on the representation that we touched on in the beginning, right? Like the importance of having a Black and Dominican actor, and even having a perspective of a woman who gets cheated on. We don't know if she's white, Black, or Hispanic, but at the end of the day, she is a woman, and that's a field, mm-hmm. or an audience that's out there. So, like, growing up, what made you be like, this is why I need to put on for my people? And pretty much, like, as a writer, as a director, as an actor, why is it important for us to have more Black writers, Dominican actors, you know, Dominican directors? Why is that important? Where are we at right now? Where were we in the past? Where are we going?
There's a lot. There's a... Cola might hate me for this, but Cola is one of my, like, literally oldest friends, childhood friends. He was my neighbor growing up. He's Jay's cousin. When we would play, our first form of filmmaking was playing what we call movies with toys, right? Mm. I'm just doing like a bootleg version of The Matrix with like Batman and G.I. Joe action figures. And I remember he would always be like, you know, in the game, if I'm Spider-Man, Spider-Man looks like me when he takes off the mask. You know, if I'm Batman, Batman looks just like me. And he would always go, nah, I'm blonde with like blue eyes. And I always thought it was just funny, like, yeah. Whatever. And then, yeah. As I got older, I realized what that meant. And I was just like, wow, how come we don't see rom-coms with people that look like me? You know what I'm saying? How come Batman don't have any Black sidekicks? Mm-hmm. Not even a sidekick that's Black. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. What's that about?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Miles Morales came out, before it was big, when the comic actually released, yeah. That I was just like, yo, this is big, man. Like,
yeah.
And then it blew up years later. But when I remember when I saw it, I was like, this is big, dude. There's a Black Spider-Man out here.
Yeah.
So that's when I realized I can't just repeat my white heroes. I got to do something different. I got to bring some of me into that. Or maybe it would be dope if this character actually spoke Spanish. Or if this character was from Harlem. If this character was from Dykeman. You know, so trying to infuse that in there. But I think... something that I always like, because I always like Spielberg, Nolan, you know, the typical ones. I started looking at some of the Black filmmakers, and I was like, you know, I appreciate what Tyler Perry does. Not a Tyler Perry fan like that, but I got to respect the man for what he does. Like, yeah. This dude built an industry by himself.
Black.
But somebody that I absolutely love what they do is the cinematographer named, he worked with. Bradford Young. He does Ava DuVernay's work.
Mm.
And
for the listeners, who's Ava DuVernay, really quick?
Ava DuVernay is a small up-and-coming director. You've heard of... No, she did Selma. Central Park 5.
They See Us, yeah.
Very, very prominent Black filmmaker. Started as a documentarian. She's amazing. Check her stuff out. But I love the look of her stuff. And it wasn't until I saw, of course, another white movie. Solo, a Star Wars story. I was like, I love the look of that. Everything is dark as shit. It's smoky. It just has this vibe to it. It almost felt like a Hype Williams rap video in the Star Wars world.
Really?
Yeah. As somebody that like really, really went in on music video studies, like it had that look and that vibe.
You like Star Wars too, so it's like
the wildest mix. But then I found out this guy is the one that does the cinematography for Ava DuVernay, and it led me to learn some new things even after I got out of film school, which is cinematography is racist as shit.
For sure. Oh, hell yeah. Blackface.
Yeah.
Chinese face, all that.
There's all of that, but even more, the technical stuff, the way these cameras work is racist.
Oh, okay.
And I don't mean like the machine is literally like a racist Terminator, but like the technology is designed to work on fair skin.
Mm.
So for example, when I went to film school and I majored in cinematography, the way they taught us to light, you know, by f-stops and all this stuff. And then we're like, so what do we do when we have a really dark actor? What they taught us was called literally the Wesley Snipes rule. So if I have, so for example, Jay is darker than me. I would have to light Jay with a brighter light or add an additional light so that he comes out clear in the scene and matching kind of my skin tone. But what's the problem? When you go to grade it or when you go to adjust it, his skin looks pasty and washed out now. So it's not fair to him. But the white actor next to him looks great. Looks phenomenal. So like, how do you adjust for that? And I think this dude figured it out. So he doesn't use as much light. He literally tries to minimize the amount of light he uses and tries to use, when he does use lights, different color lights instead of just, here's a white halogen light, here's a phosphorus bulb. And if you look at his stuff, it's just, it's gorgeous. And it's usually black actors in darkly lit environments. And it adds like a three dimension to the way the film looks. So like it can be a dark scene with Lupita Nyong'o in it, but he'll add blue or purple light to accent the contours of her face. So now it's like completely different than it was, you know, Wally Pfister coming in and just putting an eyetender on her and just bright lighting everything. So like, that's when it clicked for me. Like, that's what I want to do. I need to make sure that when I film stuff, I film them to look good. And that's what I did with The Psycho. I lit it through Magic Hour, overcast, and slightly greased up their faces so that we can get those nice contours and those nice earthy tones. So
yeah.
I made sure Kareem wore earth tones. Mm-hmm. You wore more skin tones so that it complements and it has this like seamless look to it.
Definitely. Just to, before you guys continue, spoiler alert. It's very well color graded.
Thank you.
Very well. Like when
shout out to Thomas.
Thomas, you did your thing on that. No, for real. It was when I was watching it and I'm looking at Renee's skin on it. I'm like, yo, man, skin looks amazing. Yo, I'm looking at Carisha. I'm like, yo, it's like it pops off, but it looks like subtle pop off. Like, I know this man, you know, for a minute now, and I'm looking, I'm like, Renee actually has pretty, like good skin. Like, it's, I didn't know he was that brown. I was
this
like,
man looking.
I didn't know he was that brown.
I'll like, be drinking water and shit. You know? I got a skin routine. Yeah, exactly. Aloe vera. Yeah. He's a GQ help.
Like, what's going on here? But yeah, no, it was a great job to continue giving your flowers.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, like, inherently racist things in cinema that I just kind of wanted to. And, you know, you can say like, oh, well, you're filming this thing and you're showing your culture in a bad light. I'm like, not really. I'm trying to show our culture, our people, like, hey, this is a problem. We can definitely get past it. But if you see it on this platform, it might make you think about it more, as opposed to, you know, we don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't cry, you don't do this. So that's what I really wanted to do. But at the same time, kind of show the beauty, the elegance in our people, in our skin tones, in a way that makes us look good, flattering, you know. I was always telling Renee and Kareem, it's like, don't worry about looking good. I got you. Just act.
Just trust the director. Trust the director and then the director, trust the actors.
Word. So what about you, Jay? Like, as far as, you know, from a writer standpoint and, you know, dealing with the past and the representation that, you know, we didn't have back then, you know, it was something that you went through, those trials and tribulations, and where do you think we're going? How can we fix it? As far as just a writer.
Kind of to, I guess, take a little bit from what Carlos said, I think it's just, yeah, getting more of these people of color to do anything, comic books, movies, television, because it's just authenticity. If you guys ever hear my podcast, I always talk about how
shout
much...
Shout it
I,
out, shout it out.
Oh, the Average J's podcast, where all pods are cast. That's our thing. But I will always say how I hate Hollywood in the sense that they keep doing reboots. They keep doing the nostalgia is cool, but yeah, oversaturating it just for money is just annoying. They don't have any faith in their originality. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I always say to Carlos, like, if I wrote Inception and shot it and be like, yo, Hollywood, I have this, they'll tell me no because I'm black. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chris Nolan... I love the guy. He's done his thing. He did Batman. He's goated. I'm not going to take that away from him, but I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to have a point.
Yeah.
Now, I think we should have more people of color in there doing their thing, showing the different things that we can do, like the cinematographer. We would never have known that if he didn't do that. But my focus right now as a writer, I'm outside of film, which I want to do more film. I want to be a writer director one day, but I'm focusing on comic books right now because I just want to get my words out there. And I think the thing is, a lot of people of color have something to say. A lot of things now, love DC, love Marvel, but they're stale. They've been stale for way too long. I focus on a lot of indie comic books, one specifically called The Antagonist, which is written by Tyler Martin, black CEO of his own comic book company, and it's growing fast. All black characters. Doesn't make it like, it's not like, when I was younger, I used to be like, oh, I don't like these black movies. But I guess it's because I've been seeing a lot of Tyler Perry. That's probably what it was. But there's a lot of good black movies.
Tyler Perry slander.
No disrespect. No disrespect to Tyler Perry. He's like, right? He's like, you can't use my lot.
You might fuck around and just fund this shit just for the fuck of it.
But I think, yeah, we just got to do more of that stuff. Like, I mentioned Cola as a kid when he was like, I want to be blonde with blue eyes. That's how, like, the girl choosing the white Barbie doll instead of the black Barbie doll because it was unattractive. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, or not even when I was younger, I would say I'm 39. The last 10 years, every time I wrote, I always saw, like, my characters as white, which is a problem because we grew up with the Supermans, the Peter Parkers, the Batmans, mm-hmm. and it's just like, I remember, so my first comic book called My Brother Teddy, the kid was white, and I was just like, damn, this is weird, like,
yeah.
Why am I doing this? And then I started doing that. Like, my other character from another comic book that I have, he had, like, light skin, but I was like, nah, I'm gonna make him darker and just make him half black, half Haitian, half Dominican. And I was just like, why not do that? And then that's what we need to see, showing our true, I guess, selves, if that makes sense.
Sense of self.
But yeah, exactly that.
Be you, be real. Say it out loud, and then you already
be
know.
You be real. Facts.
All day, baby. So what about you, Renee? As far as, like, from the actor's perspective, we know that it's your first film. Mm-hmm. But, you know, essentially you're an English teacher, and you deal with kids. You know, what's the prominence important where it's, like,
So I could see that within my own students. I feel like it's important for them that at this age, that's something that we didn't have. I teach middle school, so the kids are, like, from 12 to 13. I teach 7 and 8 mainly, or I've worked with that age group. I would say that the things they value or the things they see on TV is not things that are going to, like, develop them or keep them more in tune with their culture or passionate mm-hmm. or have a pride. Like, yo, yeah, I'm a black kid, or I'm an Afro-Latino. Right now, kids are just valuing Jordans and, you know, the way they
materialistic stuff.
Yeah, materialistic stuff. But I feel like, and I showed the film to some of my students too, the eighth graders actually, because we had like some free time. And I'm like, guys, it's 5 minutes, let's watch this. Tell me what y'all think. Yeah. This was before the festival, once I had it. And I was like, I want to show them to the kid.
You're about to get disqualified. Yeah.
No, I showed the students and I'm just like, yo, what y'all think? And they just like laughed at it. They were really into it though. And they were just like, at the end, they were like, because they were like, oh no, pause it. And they wanted to see like the text message. But no, I just feel like.
I'm curious what they thought before their age.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, they just thought it was funny and then they made fun of me because I was like, they were like, oh, you a sucker. So they kind of did the whole toxic shit. Basically. Yeah.
Kids ain't shit for that.
But nah, I would say like that's just important so they could see like, oh, like this is my teacher and like the quality of it looks amazing. So they're like, this is the actual movie. Like,
yeah.
And then they were like, why is it so short? Like, we want more. Like, what happened next? You know? Yeah. But yeah, I would say, I think like it's important for them because I have a lot of students that are super silly and I tell them like, yo, you can act. Like, you have that ability. I could see it. You're a great talker, like performer in a way. So it's just if they could see that themselves, then I feel like they'll be able to one day take a jab at it and be like, oh, I want to do that. Or Mr. Lantigo, like, put me on. What programs do you know? Maybe you know somebody.
And the fact that they know you
exactly
is just even better. Like, my teacher, who is Dominican, is out here in a film. That means, wait, I'm Dominican as well. Mm-hmm. I can now do this. You know, let me use you as that stepping stool. Like, oh, Lantigo, how do I get to so-and-so? That's fire.
Yeah.
And then the other point is, too, is like
not only the representation matters, but how are we represented? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We always have, like, we're stuck in this, like, stereotypical stigma, like, oh, we want this experience as, you know, as a Latino. We want the other Latinos, so we want the Black experience. And then you see all these cliche roles and cliche content
in the background.
And we're not, yeah, and we're always put in a box and represented in one way when, like, you know,
that's true.
We all come from different walks of life.
Yeah, because, like, it's one of those things where, like, we've seen all those slave movies. It's always there. There's always that. Like, even the, what's the new one with Will Smith?
Emancipation.
I haven't seen, I'm going to check it out because I like the director, but it's just like, we don't have to keep doing it. I want to see a Black superhero that's not, that's, you know, it doesn't have to fall into stereotype. Like, yeah. when it comes to my creations, I want to say something and just not be stereotypical. Because, like, I remember when DC wanted to have a Black Superman, I was not for it because, to me, Superman is just a white guy. Because every time you see that S, you think Clark Kent, even if the person is Black. So I was like, give me a new character. Or, we always spoke about it, John Stewart, Green Lantern. We grew up with him in Justice League. Like, that's easy. Like, I always was like, yo, I see myself in this dude. Mm-hmm. And, like, Batman was, like, don't get me wrong, Batman, Superman, they were all great. But John Stewart was the Black dude in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Gangster. So I was like,
he wasn't like, well, what should we do? He was like, let's go up in there and fuck that shit up, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's something about that. Like, it's, we were talking a little bit before we started setting up right now, which is, you know, concepts or stories that I would like to potentially do as a feature. And even something as simple as like a vigilante idea that we've been talking about for years, actually. And it's like, but you know what? What if the vigilante was Black?
So I like that you said that because would he be a vigilante or would he just be a criminal?
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. You know, it's very easy to see, you know, the dude from Twilight. I like the movie. No hate on the Batman. I really like this movie. But it's easy to see him, you know, being real emo with the face makeup. It's like, yeah, look at that. Yeah. There's injustice. Play that with a Black guy, with a do-rag on, with some Tims. Oh, he's a criminal. He's a straight criminal. He's fighting there's no point in that story where the commissioner reaches out to him and says, I think you're the solution. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So how does he deal with that?
I forgot this.
The commissioner is always hunting his ass down.
Yeah, he's
the Joker in that story. Even though he's saving people, like, nah, he's the bad guy in this movie. So it's like, but that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like, how would that play out? Yeah. It's like embracing the culture, embracing our heritage, I think adds a level of context and nuance to every story that I appreciated that was just white people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you can flip Superman, make him Black. Doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
But if we tell the story of a superhero with a Black man, how does that feel? If we tell a romantic comedy with, you know, Black or Dominican people or even Asian people. That's why Crazy Rich Asians was such a big hit. It's like,
and I'll always be my maybe it was another. Was
right. You let people into culture.
Photograph too. With
right. That was a really good one. Filmed very seriously on a good budget. Got a lot of hype, made a lot of money, but it's because you're adding that cultural context to something. Mm-hmm. So it makes a tired formula feel fresh now. Mm-hmm. And I think we can start doing that. We can definitely. This has made me feel confident enough to try to do that going forward now.
Yeah.
That's a quote right there. He said, a tired formula feel fresh right now. That was fire.
Drop a bomb on
that.
I
was fire. Mm. Watch Tyler Perry. He said Tyler Perry used it?
Tyler Perry's going to use it.
He's like, fuck these niggas.
But you said it before. When you said that, like, would it make him a superhero, a vigilante, or a criminal? Two things that come to mind. I remember seeing an Instagram picture. I think it was Black Nerd Problems. It's like, it's funny how they don't stop Batman because you can see that he's white. Now, if you put a Black man behind the same cowl, it's like, nah, that's a Black man. Shoot him.
Yeah.
And they recently made Batman Black. It's a different character. Lucius, if you know who Lucius Fox is, it's his son, who's a Black character who wears... Like, Batman's not Black. Batman will always be Bruce Wayne.
Come from slave money.
Oh shit!
No, he's not right. You know, he's not right. There's
his
family comes from. So we're very nerdy. We know our comic books. So it's like,
damn,
we know our.
Don't ruin Batman for me, bro. No, that's I still my love
Batman.
Man.
No, Batman. Batman all day. Yeah. But we gotta know.
Inherently wrong about Bruce Wayne. He's the 1% taking justice into his own hands, and then making decisions on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So, I gotta show Snyder some love.
No, no, yeah.
I love Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, the director, does some things with these characters that people hated him for. If you watch Batman v Superman, I didn't even mean to make this a Batman v Superman podcast.
Yeah,
but do it. Batman is literally preying on the projects. That's where they show him every time he comes out.
You're talking about when he like leave the Batcave and stuff?
Yep.
He leaving the project?
The one with Ben Affleck, when he's praying in the projects. That's where he's catching criminals.
If you watch Batman versus Superman, like just go to that scene. You see it is the projects.
And when Clark Kent goes to investigate, who are all the witnesses he's asking? All the black people in the projects. A Hispanic woman whose husband got arrested by him. Like, and I was like, yo, I never thought about that. He will be in on his indictment. Yeah,
watch that movie again. Like, it gets a lot of hate, but like people, exactly what you said, they don't like it because it's too real. And that's the thing Zack Snyder does. He shows you something real in a movie when you go to the movies, you're supposed to forget about the realist. But it's like, no, this is the problem. Go watch it. So, but yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I forget my other second thing before you took it away.
Shout out
to Snyder. with the antagonist I mentioned earlier, so all the characters are black. So the main characters are villains. Like, you're following villains. But it's one of those things where it's like, not that the characters are saying this, but for a reader looking at this, these are already black characters. They're going to be villainized anyways for being black. So make them the bad guy. It's something you've never heard of before. I've never heard of that.
Nah, that's a fact.
Not to shout him out, like, and I follow him and he follows me back, and I always shout him out on this. Like, I love his stories. At the time, he only had 3 issues out. So it's like these three, like, for anyone who don't know, issues are small little magazines. 3 issues, it got so popular, they're developing a show already. That's huge in the comic book world. And he's already has 6 issues out, which is 1 volume, which is like a little bit bigger, like a workbook. If you remember a workbook in school, like that. So shout out to him, because I can't wait to see it come to TV. I always tell people, like, yo, if you love The Boys, this is better. I like it.
I love The Boys.
But this is better.
That's real life shit. The Boys is wild. Real life shit.
It's wild.
No, the but, Boys is real life shit. So, yeah, that's all I have to say.
I mean, I definitely wanted to, you know, to touch back on what you said earlier as far as, like, and then you as well, as far as, like, when you're creating these characters, or they're blonde hair, blue eyes, or they're white. And then touching on your topic with your kids, right? Like, seeing someone who, like, looks like them is going to make them think, like, oh, okay. Maybe I can do this. Yeah. I ain't going to hold you. It's something funny. I thought it was funny. I didn't know what I was doing until I got older, until people started talking about this whole representation conversation. I was like, oh, shit. Man, I remember one time my dad took me to a barbershop. He's like, yo, get a haircut. And this is, like, the first time he let me try out, like, instead of getting a Caesar, get a haircut. I seen a white guy on the wall
with the haircut.
I ain't got much hair, so I ain't gonna take my hat off right now. But but pretty much on the cut itself was the guy had a Caesar or like a fade, and on the front of it, it curled up.
Oh, forward. He had the Chandler Bing from Friends, the low ramp.
Yeah, so I'm like, give me that. And the barber... my hair is nappy, you know what I'm saying? It curls up. The barber's like, he'll give me a fade, and then he just made like a triangle in the front of my head.
That's some shit that'll be in Atlanta.
That's
another show.
I'm like, yo, fam, I want that. That's what I want. I want it to look like that. Yeah. And he's telling me, like, yo, your hand not gonna allow you to do that. So that to me,
he not a barber.
Fast forward, that's what I'm saying. I was dead tight. Actually, I walked out saying, fuck it, I'm just going to walk out with this. And I got instantly flamed the next day in school. It was crazy. I had to get a haircut like the next day. I was like, oh, bye, this ain't working.
You had a flat top.
I had a flat top with a triangle on the tent. It was crazy.
That's something you would see like in a cartoon.
My life is like a cartoon, bro. And moving forward, like fast forward into the future, that's what representation matters the most. It's like when you have that creative freedom to be that, like as a kid, you want to strive for or have at least examples of yourself. You know, I didn't have that. I was like, I want white hair, so make my hair look like that. Just crazy. So just to say the importance again, to give you guys your flowers, this is why you guys are important.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Made me tear up right now.
But, you know, also to touch on other things that you guys are doing, the cycle was featured in the Dominican Film Festival, which is huge. I really wanted to, you know, gauge the conversation around where, you know, how did you guys go about entering that Dominican Film Festival, the importance of the Dominican Film Festival's other films that were part of it, and pretty much the causation of what they're trying to do with these type of festivals, right? Representation we're trying to put on for our people. So I just wanted to dive into that topic as far as, like, how you guys went about that.
You submitted. Yeah. I didn't know about it until he told me. He was like, yo, it's it.
I was, I knew you were submitting.
For filmmakers out there.
Back when I, because I was born here, and then I moved to Florida because my parents got jobs over there. And then I moved back with the intention of going to teach English in Korea. Just because I had done some film work in Orlando and I really wasn't happy with it. Reality TV is trash, first of all.
Super trash. It's all in Orlando?
There's no artistic merit in that.
Shit it on them.
No. Yeah, so it's like they keep passing you batteries and then keep buying people alcohol and just like keep recording. Yeah. It's like, and I'm studying pan shots, whip dolly shots, and I'm like, well, we're just watching Cardi B right now. What do you think? So, first season of Love & Hip Hop.
That season was fire.
Yeah, no, it was good. So I was riding bike through Columbia Presbyterian, and I see a sign that says, you know, Dominican Film Festival being presented here, because they had like this auditorium, and I was like, that's a thing?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing, the Dominican Film Festival.
Dominican know what a projector is?
That's crazy. 11 years?
Yeah, like, like, it was just shocking. No, because that's part of what you said. Like, you don't see yourself up there. Like, nah, we don't do that. Like, when I tell people, yeah, I do film work, they're like, no, nigga, you don't. Yeah. Like, it's that type of mindset. Like, Dominicans don't make this, or Dominicans don't do this.
Yeah.
They don't act in shit, you know?
I remember Andrea, that scary movie, though.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. They were selling them bootlegs sold like crazy. Yeah.
Movie, but go ahead. Keep going with you.
So then, you know, that stayed in the back of my mind. And when I was making this, my girlfriend's like, you should submit this. This is really good, actually. And I was like, I don't know about that. And talking to some of the other people that do film work at Apple, they're like, oh, you got to go on Film Freeway. You got to. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came up was Dominican Film Festival. I'm like, I remember this. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to some of the people that host it, and they were very helpful, very informative. So I do what I usually do, which is I waste mad time pretending that I'm doing the research and all that stuff. And then I was like, finally, I just submit. And like a month later, they hit me up like, yeah, well, you've been selected. And I remember that day was just wild for me. Like, but
yeah, you text me too.
I was like, yo, this is wild. So, you know, I really appreciate them for what they did. And, it really dawned on me that our friend from the group as well told me, he's like, oh, I've always been trying to pull the group. Like, yo, we're going to film this this Nerf Squad movie. We're going to film this movie with this, or we're going to do whatever. Just like filming little shit here and there. And he was like, it really hit me when I saw a theater full of people that also do the same shit you do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it's not just Carlos doing it.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but he also said something like, because he's so used to, we're going to shout him out because he's an actor in himself, Robin Jimenez. He loves his Marvel movies like we all do, but he's just like, he was really shocked or surprised to see no CGI in a movie, just to see a movie on the big screen. I thought that was pretty dope too, to see like a movie that we did on the big screen. And he was taken aback by it, but he was proud, I would say, like just to see a movie like that didn't have CGI, that didn't have it, just a chill scene. And I thought that was pretty dope for him to say that.
Yeah, it was definitely big to see a packed theater, people watching it. It's you know, I made my peace with you know, I'm clearly not gonna be given the rights to do the Conception 2 and shit. Next year, that's not gonna happen. They're not gonna be like Feige coming up to me like, yo, Carlos, I need you to do Black Panther 3. That's not gonna happen.
You never know. Maybe not Black Panther 3, but Black Panther 5.
Knock on wood, but what I wanted to always do is like, let me make a movie and have people feel something out of it. Doesn't have to be shown in like AMC IMAX, but like just that people see it and walk away thinking something. And that got to, I got to experience that. And I'm forever grateful for the Dominican Film Festival for like just hosting that. Cause that was like a once in a lifetime experience.
For sure, for sure.
And he thought,
nah, that was a great experience. Like Carlos said, I think that day it was just like, you know, I had my family, my brother, my mom, like Jeffrey was there, you, Kareem. It was just dope, like having friends, you know, this project we made. There was an auditorium full of people that I'd never seen before. And everybody saw my face and I was just like, oh shit. Like, and you know, I'm often very reserved. Like if you go to a meeting and where I work at, like a school, I rarely ever talk. I'm very in the back. I'm silly with the people I know all the time, but just them seeing that, I was like, oh shit. Like, and it was a great feeling. It was amazing. Again, it was a moment I would never forget.
Yeah, and we really appreciate you guys, you know, coming on. We always end our shows with, you know, asking people, you know, really quick, you know, for the listeners, something that you want to tell them, you know, what pretty much makes you guys, you know, since it's BU, Be Real, what makes you guys want to, you know, wake up every day and decide to just be your most authentic selves?
Shit.
It's a tough question. Well, try to do it in 5 words.
Thank you. Thank you again for having us. Like, legit, this means a lot. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Just, you know, I mean, obviously you gotta get up and make your money. But more importantly, that you can have your stuff screened somewhere. You can have people see something and take away some meaning out of it. And that's enough. So put your work out there. Put your art out there. People will like it. People appreciate it. People talk about it.
I mean, yeah, look where it got us to, right? We're here. We met you guys. Like, I feel like Carlos said, I agree with 100% what he said. Like,
I guess leaving the listeners with something. Everything Carlos said. And then be nice. Be nice to everyone.
Drink water.
Like, you know, to be honest, it's that simple. Be nice, drink water. Keep chasing the dreams, no matter what it is. I always take it from one of my favorite CW shows, Supernatural. One of the main characters would say, just keep going until you go down swinging. That's it. Truth is, I'm falling for you. Truth is, you like no other. Truth is, truth is, truth. You make me feel alive. It's true love.